Hallelujah. Let's go back to Hebrews again. I know we're still in here. You know, if we were subject teaching, this isn't a subject teaching time. This is a time where, you know, you're going line upon line in the book of Hebrews. We're pointing things out, but there's so many men of faith in here. And that's really what it was about. There's so much information about who the Christ was, how God was working through him, how him being the high priest, everything early on in the book of Hebrews. If you go and look at each one of them topically, you could spend months on every one of those subjects and you would almost never get through Hebrews. And I'm not going to complete Hebrews today, you know, by any stretch. And I would so enjoy Pastor Bill coming back and finishing it, because I get so much when he's teaching the Word of God. I really miss that. So let's just go to Hebrews 13. And I'm going to do one of those little ploys that the kids do in school when they get this little book to read. They go back to the last chapter of the book and then they read it and they think they understand it. Well, I just want to point some little thing out here. In the 13th chapter of Hebrews, I'm just laying a little groundwork here. It says in verse 22, "But I urge you, brethren, bear with this word of exhortation." That was the whole context of Hebrews. "For I have written to you briefly." I've written to you briefly. There's so much detail and insight and unfolding of the Old Testament and revealing everything in the Old Testament concerning the fathers of faith, and even all the way back to the beginning of Genesis, unfolding of these things that were going to be revelation truth that we're going to find out through Jesus Christ. And it's to encourage us. It's to build us up. "I've written to you briefly." Now, let's just go to Hebrews 12. And for instance, we're getting there. Okay. Hebrews 11 is talking about all these great men of faith that is building us up to cause endurance to rise up on the inner man. Look what it says in the 12th chapter, because we're about ready to get there. And I'm just using this to set a perspective of, so we don't get lost in 11 and not understand that we're going somewhere. We're on this journey through Hebrews. "Therefore," okay, the end of 11 comes, and now 12 comes with the therefore. And of course, those of you who have read after Brother Hagin, if there's a therefore, find out what it's there for. So that's what he says. That's an often quoted thing, and I'm not sure it was even his. He might have got it from someone else. This is what happens sometimes. "Since we have so great a cloud of witnesses," chapter 11, "a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith." Now, this is coming after we read about all these faith men of God. Women of God. There's women of God mentioned, for all you ladies that wonder about that. In the 11th chapter, there's women of God who were women of faith. And they set a course, set a precedent. You know, I think about the widow woman who Elijah came down to visit. And he came down to visit her, and she was childless. And he said, "By this time next year, in the time of life, you'll have a child." "Oh, no, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. I've had my hope build up so many times." And sure enough, it happened as the man of God said. And then after the child grew up, you know the story, right? "Oh, my head, my head." And the child collapses. And they took the child to the upper room where the prophet lives when he visits the area. Laid him in the prophet's bed, dead. Saddle up the donkey. "Don't take mercy on me because I'm a woman, because I am going to keep up with you." The servant got the horse, got the donkey together, and they rode off after Elijah, and it was hidden to him. Women who have, you know, received back their children from the dead, This is the kind of thing this woman of faith was talking about. All is well. All is well. It doesn't look that way. But see, we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And this, the context of Hebrews repeats that multiple times. The author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. These are one of the keys to what does faith look like. We're not speaking and dissecting faith as a subject, but what does it look like in these men of God, in these women of God? It has endurance. It has endurance with it. It doesn't look at the circumstances that it goes through. This is what faith looks like. It looks to the prize. It looks to my son will live and not die. My pastor will rise up. Amen. That's what faith. Are you praying for him in faith? Oh, woe is me. He's going through all this. I'm not looking at what he's going through. I'm looking at the end result. Wholeness, restoration of his body from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. As I was reading these scriptures in Hebrews, it sprung me to continue to pray for him in regards to faith. What does faith look like? Despising the shame, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured. Faith endures. Faith doesn't give up. It endures. It presses in. Presses in. And oftentimes I've seen over the years, people believe in God for something. It's unfortunate. Sometimes they just give up. You don't receive then. But they received. They were looking ahead. For me, I've often said this for many, many years. I'd rather die in faith than give up. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to be arrogant or cocky about that. It's just that if I'm going to die, I want to be in faith, you know, about things. He sat down. Consider him, verse 3, consider him who has endured such hostilities. Faith can put you in hostile zones. And if you believe God for something, and it's like you read these story after story after story. It puts you in a tough place sometimes where things on the outside don't look like it's going to make it. It's going to succeed. You know, that hardball at work, that you know, cantankerous neighbor, they can be saved. We have to believe God for salvation for them, for enlightenment to them. It might not be you. Maybe they're mad at you for something. You know, who knows? But we can pray for someone to come across their path. You know, so we keep praying for that cantankerous neighbor, you know, for that person at work. Things like that. Yes, they can be saved. Oh, they're agnostic. They're you know, unbelievers. They're hard. They had a hard life. There's a lot of people that had hard lives that are living for the Lord now. And if God will do it for them, he'll do it for this person. Look at this. Some of this left. So that you will not grow weary or lose heart. As we've been saying many times about the book of Hebrews, it's to encourage us that we don't lose heart, that we don't grow weary. The book is giving us strength to live our life in this day that we live to. It's worse in other countries than it is here. Believe that. It is. The stories we're getting back from Brother Israel in India, it's, you know, and the news that we're getting. Don't always believe everything you're seeing on this news broadcast about how India, everybody's dying and that, you know, just wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. The truth will be revealed. Brother Israel will stop in and visit us and he'll tell us everything that's going on in India, you know, and it will be a good report. So let's get back to Hebrews 11. And Brother Shane covered this very well. Verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because he saw that he was a beautiful child. And they were not afraid. Faith doesn't have fear in it. What does faith look like? It has endurance. It doesn't grow weary. It doesn't give up. That's what faith looks like. So when I measure my life, when I look at my gas gauge, how far can I go in my car? I look at my gas gauge and it's giving me a clue. Look in the mirror of your life and say, am I getting weary? I need to go before the Lord and gain strength. I need strength in me. Where am I going to get strength? The Word of God. That's what's going to strengthen me. And it's nice when a brother or sister comes up and encourages you. That strengthens you too. If they give you the Word of the Lord. If they just empathize with you, it's just like, that wasn't much strength at all. So, you know, but thank you. Thank you for your help, you know. Let's look at here. Brother Shane brought up the midwives. They didn't fear the edict of Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, when they have a boy, throw him in the water. And all of a sudden, this little boy floats up along, you know, in the reeds. And Pharaoh's daughter finds him. And he becomes the deliverer. He's slick that way. You know, raised up a deliverer from one of those children that were supposed to be put to death. He raises up a deliverer. Faith. Faith. They did that by faith. They stood. They weren't afraid. They weren't afraid of the King's edict. By faith, verse 24, when he had grown up. Now, oftentimes when you hear me teach these things, you know, in the Word, I try to look for little timelines, little things that locate me in Scripture. And watch how the timelines jump in here. Because like I said, we cannot go back and review every book that's mentioned and in between all the little timelines. But it's good to be aware of them because you get a sense of what's going on. When he had grown up, well, that took a while, right? He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment. You can go ahead and walk right into the storm because your faith is jacked up. Walk right into the storm when you know it's the will of God. Gets in the boat, take me to the other side. And the storm of life comes for Jesus. You know that story. He was going to deliver the man of Gadara. He was going to deliver demons out of his life. But there was a storm in the way. Walked right into it. Peace, be still. Faith has peace. Ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy passing pleasures of sin. Shane covered that great last week. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he was looking to the reward. Not to all these pleasures that he was going to have. Looking to the reward. It's interesting how he tied Christ into this. Because Christ was the deliverer. Moses was the deliverer. Early on, the deliverance that Moses lived through, experienced, and God used him in was a type and shadow, was that which was to come. That's the revelation in this. And they were looking for the promised land. And Jesus was bringing us into a place. We were here, and he brought us out to bring us in. Into the peace of God, into salvation, which is by faith, through the grace of God, by faith. That's the comparison here. That's why it was easy for him to put Christ right there with Moses, because he was the deliverer, and Jesus was the deliverer. He was greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was not looking. For he was looking to the reward. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. He was looking to the reward. While he was looking at something else, the cross set before him. I get to that cross. I'm going to deliver every man, woman, and child from sin and the dark places of their life. I'm going to deliver them. Jesus was looking at the cross because it was through the cross he was going to have his family. His family. We're going to identify with him. Yes, by faith he left Egypt. Verse 27, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. Again, that comes up again and again and again. As seeing him who is unseen. you know, the burning bush, that experience, seeing him that was unseen. By faith, he kept the Passover. All right, he left Egypt, and you see this timeline here, and all of a sudden, he kept the Passover. So all the plagues are done. He kept the Passover. We're in the 10th plague right now, where God is about ready to send the death angel in and take every firstborn from Egypt. Look how the timeline. If we go back and investigate that, you know, in Exodus, we'll be in here forever. But notice what's happening here. And he says, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood. The Apostle Paul had to throw this in. Jesus kept the Passover before he went to the cross. He who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. Death can't steal you anymore. You've been delivered from the fear of death. It can't steal your life away. There's something better for you. It's better. What you have to look forward to is better than what you have right now. Ooh, this is great. There's something better. Don't think that this is great. There's something better, Pop. Something better. And it's right before us. It's right there before us. Something better. Now, why am I making an emphasis of that? If you keep looking to the better, you won't get caught up into this life. We have to keep looking to the better, or we'll get snagged. You know, as I was reading there in the 12th chapter, when he gets ready to go into the 12th chapter, we have to let this go. We live in this world, but it shouldn't have a hold on us. Now, we keep working towards that. It's a process. We keep moving forward. Look, verse 29. We go from verse 28, where he destroys the firstborn, to verse 29. By faith, he passed through the Red Sea. So there it is. The march and the hot pursuit of Israel. I'm sorry, of Egypt. The hot pursuit of Egypt. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry ground. And the Egyptians, when they tried it, they failed. The water crashed down on them. I was excited, but I went back and read the Song of Moses. And I was praying this way for Pastor Bill too. They saw the Egyptians lined up on the shore dead. They were everything. They passed through in faith, and all the problems that were behind them and pursuing them, all the problems just laid there floating around dead. You know, and I began to get this image. Lord, these circumstances that are holding down my pastor, they're all going to be dead. Because he's going to rise up. And I'm just speaking my faith. You know, they're all going to lie there. And the song of the Lord's going to come up. The song of Moses, that's what happens. I have unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider. You remember that song? I was just trying to remember the words. Lord, my God, my strength, my song. Is now, you remember that. He's become my victory. He's my victory. They had tried it. Verse 30, by faith. Okay, they drowned in the sea. And by faith, the walls of Jericho came down. Was there a little bit of a gap there? Can we say 40 years just passed between this verse and that verse? 40 years just passed. The Jericho walls fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient. Anyone can be saved. She didn't perish. And we're going to see something in a minute. And you might know this because I probably mentioned it before. After she had welcomed the spies in peace. Welcome. Good to see you. You know, the land has been terrified. The fear of the Lord is upon the land. You know, that story, if we go back and look at that story, it will jack our faith again. But we're in the book of Hebrews right now. And could we cover every story? Eventually we'd get there. And what more shall I say? Well, let me just digress for just a moment. Go to Matthew. Matthew, the first chapter. My pad is a little slow here. My other pad was so much faster. And it was like 8 years old. Anyway, are you there? The record of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. We know these things. These are the people that are in Hebrews, okay? Isaac, the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah. I brought this up last time I preached. Do you remember Tamar? And I didn't really go too deeply into the story. Our part of the Bible, whereas she dresses up. And what she had in her mind, she was a woman of faith because in the book of Hebrews, she wrought righteousness in her life. It was righteous for her to do what she did. Her prize was family. And out of her eggs, from her eggs, and from Judah's loins, came Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Abinadab. Abinadab, the father of Nahshon. Nahshon, the father of Salmon. Who was Salmon? Rahab's husband. Salmon was one of the spies that went in that she welcomed. Hey, Salmon, welcome. Welcomed him in. Salmon was the father of Boaz, and here is marking time for us when we go through scripture. Boaz by Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed by Ruth. There's your Ruth. Right before her is the book of Judges. And these people just pop up as the scripture moves forward. The book of Judges, the book of Ruth, Obed, the father of Jesse. You're starting to get into 1 Samuel now, the book of Samuel. All this is found right here in this genealogy. Jesse was the father of David, the king. So you see all this timeline is right here before us. So let's go back to Hebrews. I just had to digress there a moment because I often tell people these things all tie themselves together in the Word of God, and they build our faith. There's not disorder in the Word of God. It's not random. It's very strategic. God was very much in purpose when He planned the redemption of man right in the beginning of Genesis. And all the things that happened in Genesis, when we finally get to Abraham, the story begins to unfold. Abraham, the man of faith, believed in his promise, Isaac. Of course, there was some hiccups along the way. And they're still, you know, plaguing them. So, they circled the walls. Let's see. I'm just trying to find my place. Verse 32. And what more shall we say? Remember, I wrote to you this in brief. Chapter 13. I briefly wrote to you about these things. He says here, what can we say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon. Well, there's a judge, Barak. Well, he's in Judges. We could go back and look at their story. We could expound and tear it apart and see how these were men of faith and maybe looked at as nobodies, like you and me. Maybe look at it as nobodies, but they believed God. They believed God for something. That they would become a deliverer and they would cast off the Midianites, cast off the Philistines, whoever they were judges on. And so Samson, we know about his story. He was an interesting individual, but he delivered Israel. At the end, he killed so many. But he believed God when his hands were on the post. Lord, a picture of forgiveness. There's one more chance. God will give us a chance. We just have to commit ourselves to Him. He's quick to forgive, full of compassion and loving kindness. Jephthah, another judge of David and Samuel and the prophets, their stories are rich and huge. You'd spend a long, long time unfolding their story and seeing how faith worked in their life. It's about how faith works. They conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness. That was that reference I was telling you about with Tamar, performing an act of righteousness. Because it was from her loins that Christ was going to come. If she didn't have her child, God would have had to find another way. I'm not going to suppose how he would have done that. But it had to come from Judah, and it came through Tamar, and it eventually moved forward. Shut the mouths of lions. We know who he's talking about there, right? Daniel? Could have been Samson, too. Lion snuck up on Samson. He tore his head off. Because that's the way he do. You come at me, I'm going to tear you apart. That's the anointing that was on his life. He was the liberator, and it was just it. So they quenched the power of fire. Who's he talking about? See, if he had enough time, he could put the details in all this story. But he just had a little time, so he was just tweaking their interest. But you go back and read Daniel for yourself. You'll see it. I'm just making you curious in these matters. Because we could go back to Daniel and talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their faith? I'm not bowing down. I'm not bowing down to the gods of this world. Not going to do it. We're going to worship our God. We don't want the king's food. Early on, that was like the first test. Just give us our veggie. Oh, I listened to the Bible, CD Bible, and so when my CD's working anyway in my car, that's another story altogether. But I get to hear how. This guy's really good with language. So he can buzz through all those names in the Old Testament. He's like, it would literally tongue-tie me, some of those names, because we don't have those names in America, We just don't talk like that. It messes with your tongue. So anyway, you know what I'm saying, right? So my point in that was, and I'm trying to remember what my point in that was, what was I saying, Phil? Oh, the food. Vegetables. The vegetables is how he pronounced it, which is probably correct. Vegetables. Just give me the vegetables and we'll be fine. We don't want the king's meat. Probably sacrificed to idols. They didn't partake in that. So just give us vegetables. And their skin was nice. And, they looked healthy and they excelled, because they listened to him. That was their faith speaking. They weren't afraid of the king's edict. They weren't, their person that was serving them, he was a little nervous about that because the king would have his head, if they would have lost an ounce. But they proved to him, just give us a chance. So they ate their vegetables. They grew up strong and mighty in the land. These were mighty men of faith in the land. Quenched the piles of fire. Escaped the edge of the sword numerous times. Numerous people in the scripture escaped the edge of the sword. Many of David's mighty men. David himself escaped from Saul. From weakness were made strong. Why? Faith. Faith strengthens you. Having confidence in God strengthens you. Not becoming weak, but they grew strong. Speaking out what they knew of the Lord. Becoming mighty in war. Put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead from resurrection. And others were tortured. This, if it seems like it's getting negative, it's not really. Because these people that were tortured, they weren't going to give in to it. It doesn't matter that much. They were looking for the promise. looking at things before them. They were tortured, not accepting their release so that they might obtain a better resurrection. The things before us are far better than what we have now. A better resurrection. Others experienced mockings and scourgings. Now, some of you may have from time to time experienced mockings. Holy roller, you know, the people mocking you, right? They're mocking you, your God. Why is all this sin in the world? They don't understand. You know, they don't understand the origin. And it's like, you can't have a theological debate with them over these matters. You know, do you believe there's a God or don't you? Do you believe there's a devil or don't you? Do you believe there's heaven to be gained and a hell to keep away from? There's a heaven and hell. You know, there's things you can talk to them about, but you can't get into these deep debates that no one has ever been able to solve. You know, why is there evil in the earth? I had someone knocking on my door. So, you know, they were just traveling around. Oh, it was Baptists. It wasn't Jehovah's Witnesses or anything. It was some Baptist people from down in Redline, I think they were. You know, well, where did... Why are we having so much trouble in the world? I said, sin. I just said, sin, tomb. And they said, well, yeah, that's right. You know, and so we just had a little chat, and I blessed them, and they went on their way. But, you know, thank God they're out witnessing. Not my thing, but if that works for you, many people have come to the Lord by someone knocking on their door. And it's okay. If that's what God's telling you to do, go do it. Go do that. Go visit people. Go tell them about Jesus. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. There's a lot of Jewish history that reveals about these kinds of things. The Bible isn't clear about who they are. You know, some would say in commentaries that that was Isaiah, that he was sawn in two. I don't really know. Don't have any of that understanding. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. You're tempted, right? At times, we're all tempted. Well, does faith spring up in your spirit? Or do we kind of like play with it a little bit? We're going to get to that as you go to chapter 12. You know, it's time to let that stuff by. It's time to move forward in things. And so we're getting stronger, just like a child as they grow. They get stronger. They get faster. You know, they get smarter. We have to be spiritually keen as we grow up in the Spirit. And I hesitated to say spiritually smart because that I don't think that's right. We need to be keen to hear the Spirit of God. Rekindle the Word of God that's in you. If you don't read it, it's not in you. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be insulting. It's just the way it is. The Word of God needs to be in us. You know, like that bagel this morning. It's in me. You know, I didn't have a bagel, but I'm just making a point. It's got to be in you. You have to eat. Man shall not live by bread alone. I say that all the time because that was the first revelation in my life that I ever had, you know, that woke me up. It woke me up to begin to pursue the Lord. Man shall not live by it. How are you going to live? How are you going to live? The Word of God. That was the answer in my spirit. It woke me up. It said they were tempted. They were put to death with a sword. It seems dark, right? And they went about in sheepskins and goat skins. Oh, poor little guy doesn't have the latest dress. Doesn't have the latest clothes. Being destitute, afflicted. Being destitute and afflicted doesn't mean you don't have faith. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't qualify. It's not the same thing. You can be destitute and be full of faith and be full of joy because you delight in the condition that you're in, but you're looking for something better. You're looking for something better. That doesn't mean you live there. But people have been destitute. They've been afflicted. Many testimonies about that. Ill-treated. Sometimes you're not treated the best, you know. The neighbors, that's just a real common thing. That's why I bring it up, you know. You go to work. Not everybody thinks you're the greatest thing on the planet. You know, as a matter of fact, sometimes they might think you're annoying. And that's the way it is. It's just the way it is. And might not be annoying, but that doesn't matter because they think you are. You just live in truth, and you walk in truth, and you don't just receive everything that comes down the pike. You'll stand up and you'll say something for the glory of the Lord, and you're annoying. You have a voice. You have a voice, and we need to speak up. Ill-treated men of whom the world wasn't even worthy. This world was not even worthy of these men of God. But they were here, and they lived their life. Wandering in deserts, mountains, caves, and holes in the wall, in the ground. All these having gained approval. I like that. Through their faith, they did not receive what was promised. But they gained approval. They gained approval through their faith. Yes, the destitute man gained approval through his faith. The one who didn't have anything gained approval through his faith because it doesn't qualify. It doesn't affect faith. It's the word of God going into your heart. What do you believe? What do you believe? I believe I'll rise up. I'm not going to live here all my life. They gained approval. Even not seeing what was promised because God had provided something better for us. So that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. I love that. Now, that kind of ends that chapter. And we're getting ready to go into 12. I'm not going to go into 12. I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians 4. So, and I do have a reason for that. Other than the fact that I feel the Lord inspired me. 2 Corinthians 4. And we'll start with, well, have to start with 2 Corinthians 4. We know about this ministry of reconciliation that we receive. It's really hard to start in the middle of a book because I'm the kind of person that, well, as you start in chapter 1, in verse 1, you begin to understand how you are when you get to chapter 4. So let me just back up here a little bit. Verse 12 of chapter 3. Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech. I was just saying, you have to speak up. Great boldness in our speech. And are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face. Interesting enough, the apostle here is already bringing up Moses, which is where we just started. He had to put a veil over his face. Again, if we go back to Exodus, we would see the story as to why. His glory was fading. But they couldn't look at him. He had to put a veil over his face in order to keep it down. Because he was in the presence of the Lord when he was on the holy mountain. And now he's explaining something that has spiritual relevance to what we deal with today with unbelievers. It says, so that the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away. But their minds were hardened, for until this very day, the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted. Because it is removed in Christ. Again, the veil in the temple, which separated, right? You're aware of this. I'm not going to go into the detail of this. It was the separation between the Holy of Holies and the holy place. The whole world is separated from God. And it's through Christ that we're reintroduced into this great life that we have. The peace of God. So, it says in verse 14, but their minds are hardened from to this very day for the reading of the old covenant. The same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, wherever Moses is read, the veil lies over their hearts. Now, remember the other chapter, the other book that we're in is the book of Hebrews. That's the people he's talking about here. In Corinthians, he's talking to Gentiles. But the same encouragement is coming to them as is coming to the Hebrews. Not to lose heart, to endure. And we're getting to that right now. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, The veil is taken away. Oh, I see now. I see him. I see my salvation. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, say it. Yes, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled faces, no mask on, okay? I'm just saying. I just thought I'd kick that stone, all right? We all, with unveiled faces, behold the Lord. As in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. We are being transformed. If we let the Spirit of God do his work in our life, we are. True. Therefore, there it is again, chapter 4. Since we have this ministry, we have received mercy. Thank you, God, for mercy. We do not lose heart. There's that same phrasing again. We don't lose heart. We hold fast. But we have renounced the things hidden. That things hidden, I looked that up, things hidden, that's cryptos, you know, cryptic, like hidden, encryptions, hidden. We renounce the things hidden. What things hidden? The things hidden because of shame. The things that no, there's things I don't know about you all. There's things you don't know about me. Hidden things, renouncing them. This is how we move spiritually, move. With God, in the presence of God. Not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, those who refuse to believe, those who make a choice. Remember, people, as Pastor Bill was revealing, we're going to bring people to a choice. We're in a time, in a season, where people are going to come to a choice about their life. Come to a choice about whether they want to walk with God or they want to completely walk away from God. They're already away from God, but yes, it can get worse for them. In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Does that not sound like Hebrews? The very image of his glory. And that's why I'm kind of convinced that Paul wrote it, but I'm not trying to convince you. It's a complete opinion. No one knows, okay? So it's just a conviction of mine. For we do not preach ourselves, verse 5, but Christ Jesus, our Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants. We're here to serve you. For Jesus' sake, for God who said, light shall shine out of the darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. That is all of us. Light. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. He's put in you light. And when you go out, you shine. When you go out, you shine. You could even say that if you want. I shine. He's shown in our hearts. Verse 7. But we have this treasure, this light, this shine, in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be God and not from ourselves. So the things you do is Christ in you. The hope of glory. Christ in you working. That's the things that we have. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. There it is again. If we live in this world, these things, maybe not today, but maybe tomorrow, we're going to have these things come to us. But it did not deter the Apostle Paul, the man of faith. We have a song that speaks about this. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Oh, you might be persecuted, but Jesus loves you. God loves you. He's on your side. He's with me. He's with me. Not despairing. Of verse 10, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus. As Paul says, I die daily, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested to our mortal body. So I'm going to stop there. You know, that you could finish that. Read. It's encouraging. It's encouraging to be built up in your spirit and your faith that doesn't grow weary. Faith doesn't grow weary. You're strengthened by looking at that which is unseen.